This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
All right, we are joined by Charles Marlowe in studio with Chuck Tuna and Andy Strickland. Question of the day, Charlie, if you had a son, which you probably will one day, would you want him to play for Bob Knight if he were still coaching?
Man. Is my mic on, by the way? 3, 2, and 1. Here we go.
And 3, 2, and 1. Here we go. I'm going to have to say no. So you're like taking it back 20, 30 years when
that
Bob
version
Knight,
of Knight
was the man. I'm going to say no. I'm not a big Bob Knight fan. Great coach, obviously. I don't know if I would appreciate his style. Would you?
Definitely not. I can get great discipline, great career guidance from some other coach who won't be a nut. Here's a text for you, Chuck. If it was Tuna's daughter that Bob Knight choked in a b-ball practice, would he still feel the same about him?
So probably not.
No.
Probably not. What kind of question is that?
What kind of question is that?
What if it was your son and you had a son?
I wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care if another man,
I don't
put his
see,
hands around his son's throat.
I'm old school coaching. I don't care. They grab football coaches grab your helmet and shook it, whatever. I don't care.
You know,
old school. Problem we have now in America, the kids today are too soft. There's no discipline. That's why crime is everywhere. Bobby Knight type people, there's no crime. Okay.
Well, I will
look at it.
You know, I'll say this: there were Bob Knight was more the norm back then, as opposed to no other coaches being like him. Like, he was so out in front and center because he had so much success, and he was a celebrity. He was on TV all the time. I bet you there were more coaches who had similar styles that just never got attention for it.
Don't you think, though, Bobby Knight kind of had the football mentality on the basketball court? Like, I agree with you. I bet you there were a ton of football coaches that did the same type of things, and I feel like it's more accepted in football. Like what Charlie said, I would have no problem, and we saw this all the time, even when I was in high school in the late 90s, with a coach kind of grabbing a face mask, not jerking him around, but just a grab. I feel like people didn't complain about that, but with Bobby Knight, if you're actually putting your hands around somebody's neck and choking them a little bit, that's different to me. That's different than grabbing a face mask.
I remember playing for the Bonham Blue Devils, okay, in the JFL. And our coach was absolutely crazy. The stuff that he would do, and my brother, he had a coach who when he played for Wesco, the Wesco Vikings, whatever, same thing. His coach was absolutely nuts. My coach was crazy. He would never get away with doing the stuff he did back then in today's environment, right? In
this terms is of, when he was a shutdown corner.
Oh, yeah. And I played a little wide receiver, played some wing back as well. Scored a 2-point conversion one time.
Congrats.
Yeah. So, you know.
Fell over the line.
So and how they would talk to the players, what they would say. I mean, I coach youth sports today. You even look at a kid the wrong way, you're about to have a hearing with the board.
Frank, back in the 60s.
There's an element of truth in what he just said.
100%.
By the way, one quick youth sports thought. Yesterday, I was helping out Bill McDermott. He has his third grade Kids for Cancer tournament, you know. Mm-hmm. The worst thing I heard by coaches while the kids were bringing the ball up was slow it down. I wanted to get that coach by the throat and grab him. No, you don't slow it down. You play fast. You get up a lot of shots. You don't run this patterned offense and set things up in a 2-1-2. You know, you run, and shoot. The coach yelled, slow it down. But go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say this. We're talking about Bobby Knight and all that and how coaching styles have changed. Looking at you two here that have kids, because you're coming up where you grew up in a different era, but then you raised kids in the more modern era. And don't you feel like, I don't want to put all the blame on the parents, but don't you feel like back in the day, parents, I feel like, and this happened with my parents, they would take the side of the teacher. They would take the side of the coach.
Great.
Nowadays, I never see that.
No.
It's always taking the side of the kid. And I feel like teachers can't teach like they used to. Coaches can't coach like they used to, and something changed, in my opinion, with parenting, where now the kid can do no wrong. And that was not the case. I'm 36 years old, and my parents didn't parent like that.
That's so good. Floyd and Tony Irons were in your two seats the other day, And they said, kids haven't changed, parents have changed.
Yeah. Well, that's 100%. That is, you want to have a bumper sticker on your car, that's a bumper sticker to have.
See, Charlie, I grew up in the era, the Adrian Peterson type era, where he beat his child up. Well, I grew up in that era where my parents would, if you were Southern blacks, not all of them.
You grew up in the South?
My parents grew up in the South.
What year are we talking here, Andy?
It was an iron
fist. This is the 1943.
It was an iron fist type thing, and things have changed now. Like you just said, parents have changed. The kids have not changed. But you can't do the thing the kids we did back in my era to kids nowadays because you'll go to jail.
Don't you think, though, okay, there's a difference between spanking a kid, and Adrian Peterson was hitting his child so hard with the switch that he had bruises and scars on his scrotum. Legitimately. That's different.
I had him on my arms and legs everywhere.
But I mean, I'm talking, he was hitting
I had
this
him
kid,
everywhere, man.
But he was hitting this kid in the bottom, and the switch was whipping around, and this kid had bruises and scars on his privates. That's different. Don't you think?
I don't think so. But
on his privates, Chuck?
Man, let me tell you what. When my parents came in to give us whoopings, man, let me tell you what. It was tough. And I thank her to this day. I mean, it's a generational thing. It's how you were raised, different races. Because I don't know how you guys were raised. I don't know. I couldn't come in there and say, man, you guys were too soft. That's why you're going in and shooting up all the high schools. I don't know. So,
by the way, this just in from Duquesne, Mike Lewis, the outstanding player from Chaminade, is leaving. Is SLU a possibility? And I'm hearing SLU, maybe. Mm. Mike had a great freshman and sophomore years, as you know, Chuck. And this year, his playing time has dropped significantly. He's only averaging 6 a game, but we know he can fill it up. So
he would have a year and a half because he's leaving before.
Yeah, that's
kind
of tough
here.
Yeah,
a year and a half left, and nowadays with transfer rules, you wonder
probably get him eligible.
But does an A-10 team, do they help out and allow him to go to another A-10 team right off the bat?
Yeah, transferring in the conference is usually very difficult.
There's no doubt that. Parents have ruined youth sports. Not all of them, but most of them. And I'll give you an example. It's like I got my little kid a pair of ice skates for Christmas, okay? He's 2 and a half. Got him a pair of skates. We went skating for the first time. My wife put some pictures up on Facebook. We went skating. And I'm getting text messages and messages from all these people like, giving me advice of what to do with this and that. I mean, one guy's like telling me, hey, you should put hockey gloves on as opposed to mittens and whatever. I'm like, listen, we just went out for a public skate, man. Like, I'm not like, you know, everybody's like, you know, I'm not trying to get him to the NHL tomorrow, right? My idea of getting him skates and going out for a public skate was not to make sure that 18 year or 16 years from now that he's making sure, you know, his name is called in the first round of the NHL draft. We're going out on a family skate. This is not the plan to get things going, you know, in terms of making to the, so it's like everybody's coming at me with all this. We just had a public skate. But the way everyone approaches everyone, you know, a lot of parents live through their kids nowadays. And that's where it's changed. And so it's not about going out there and enjoying watching your kid play and making your kid has an activity to allow them to become a more well-rounded person through sports and through other activities. It's all about the end game. And if you don't make it, then all of a sudden it's a failure. You didn't do your job. Just play sports and have fun.
As a guy who makes 3 parental mistakes before breakfast every day, I'm not really qualified to answer this. But the only thing I knew for sure that I'll go to my grave thinking, that the one thing you have to do as a parent is to get your kid to like something and to be passionate about it.
Right.
Whether it's science, mm-hmm. whether it's golf, whether mm-hmm. it's basketball, whether it's acting, and just get them good at something because that will motivate them in every other area of their life and it'll all
trickle
down.
Do you guys ever look at your kids and say, and you look at them and just in a thought and say, you think back to your day when you were that age
mm-hmm.
and how they are like you or how you affect their life and you look back and say, man, I'm so happy my kids are in check right now.
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just something.
I've seen it. My daughter's 11 months old. And this is probably what I look forward to least in terms of parenting is just the comparisons between friends and family. If you have other kids that are the same age, we took her to one of those gymborees the other day where they jump around the trampolines and play with parachutes and balls and all that. You can almost see the different parents are asking, how many months is she? 11 months, 14, 17, 8? And you're kind of sizing like, wait, now she's walking, mine's not, mine's walking, she's not, that kid's talking, mine's not. And even within your family, you know, you're talking to your aunt, they have a they have a kid or they have a granddaughter the same age. Oh, your daughter's not walking yet? Oh, you're, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. I hate that stuff. Yeah. Don't you feel like they all kind of catch up? I mean, if they're not talking at 9 months or whatever it is, walking at 12 months, when they're all 3 years old, they're all going to be at the same spot. Am I wrong on that?
Absolutely.
Like,
you're
who
right.
cares right now?
What can she do?
Well, she's a great talker.
Great talker.
Listen, she's going to be walking any minute here. She's a great crawler. And at Gymboree, they have the little basketball hoop. My wife made fun of me, but I bought her a little Nerf basketball hoop. I can put it on the wall wherever so she can start working on the shot right there.
Keep the elbow tucked.
But look, she's got the ball pit. She's got the teepee. She's got the slide. We have this play area in the basement. And I'm telling you, I've said it a million times, but we put her in the ball pit. She walks out immediately and grabs the DirecTV remote. That's all she cares about is the DirecTV remote. That's the only thing she likes playing.
She's learned from her father, yeah.
That's probably
if I
true.
Had a dollar for every time I went to that McDonald's ball pit or to Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, my goodness. Chuck Half my Cheese. Retirement's Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Now it's Chick-fil-A.
Good stuff.
Which is, I went there for the first time in my life, but I got to give them a shout-out. This was the most unbelievable experience I've ever had in my life. I got there, and I said... The line was so long, and I'm like, there's no way I can sit in this. They had about 550 employees. They're coming out to my car to place the order. And then they're bringing – I was in line for maybe 2.5 minutes. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. I'm giving my credit card right out the window right there, and they're just, you know – I could not. I would
when
go.
You pull up. Do you think you're gonna wait for an hour?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You think you're gonna wait, and you don't.
And I was getting it for my kids. My wife goes there all the time with my kids. You know, whatever. It's the first time I had ever done it. I picked my kid up from preschool last week, and I had my 2-year-old with me too. And they needed lunch. I figured it'd be an easy place to go to. And I almost turned around. I'm glad I did. I got to give a shout out to them. If everybody ran their business like Chick-fil-A, we'd be in a much better spot. That guy should run for president, whoever runs Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
He should run the country.
You know,
he starts advertising with
on the subject of chicken sandwiches, in the Gore-Tex area, there's a place called Juniper. It's the best chicken sandwich ever.
Really?
Yeah, that's right up there with it's a great fried chicken place, but they serve everything. Healthy stuff in the Gore-Tex area.
Why are you pointing it to me?
Well, because I know you're kind of a health food. You don't eat like a regular meat. You know, this is the only guy in sports talk radio. It's kind of a manly atmosphere. Oh, I can't have red meat. Oh, steak, gross. Oh, prime rib. Oh, never.
I can't eat red meat because I wear Lululemon.
Hey, I had unbelievable steak last night. Charlie, I know you've been here because it's an old-time steakhouse that many St. Louisans used to go to all the time. The Charcoal House, right down the road in Manchester.
Right by my house.
Does it have the big grill out in front or the big cow or something?
I've been there many times.
No. But it's one of the most famous bars, August A. Bush,
it's
Jim
It's right
Hannafin.
Down here.
They fix the best drinks almost in St. Louis. It's old school guys and you know, maybe the green sport coats, kind of the preppy thing. But the food is really
I've heard
really
about
good.
That
Great
place.
Steaks.
A couple people have talked about it. Yeah. I got the salmon, by the way, from Annie Gunn's Smokehouse.
Of course you did.
The shrimp cakes were unbelievable. Oh. I mean, it was incredible, man. I always got to give a shout-out to Annie Gunn's. They do an unbelievable.
They do.
The Smokehouse. I could live inside the Smokehouse.
I want to give a shout-out to Cafe Napoli.
Oh, you do that. Yeah.
Napoli 2?
I did a show at 1 2 weeks ago. I was there. But I frequent Napoli 2. Well, it's Bar Napoli in the city, and it's Cafe Napoli in Town and Country.
Yeah.
It's Clayton.
The Pietosa family, they do a great job. Chuck, what about your holidays? Your daughter couldn't be really cognizant of Santa Claus, obviously, at this point.
No, I think next Christmas, obviously, she'll be into it. But she had some fun opening up the paper a little bit, and we had her putting on the elf outfit for Christmas Eve and the little Christmas dress for Christmas. And, you know, nowadays... people are given those gifts that are kind of like your normal household gifts too. Like she got a fake remote control and a fake iPad.
Mm.
And she loves kind of, you know, the iPad, you press the different buttons and it says the different letters of the alphabet. So hopefully that gets her learning at an early age.
Yeah.
And yours were going crazy.
Oh my
God.
You
got the perfect ages for this.
The best and worst gift my kids ever got was the Alexa. Okay, my 2-year-old is absolutely going insane right now with this Alexa. Because she doesn't understand a word that he's saying, and he's getting so mad. So he'll run up to it, and you know, say that he, whatever. Play Paw Patrol. No, that's not what he wanted. No, hold on. That's not the song he wanted. Now he starts going crazy.
Oh, God. So what's he saying? Alexa, play Paw Patrol. Patrol.
Poor Alexa.
That's funny.
That's good.
I have two nephews. They're obsessed with Paw Patrol, man. I know all about Chase and Marshall.
You know that?
You ever watch Paw Patrol?
Oh, I do with them. Yes. They're 5 and 2 years old, so they love that stuff.
Alexa hates us. I can promise you that. Who is she, by the way? This is the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life.
She sounds like she could be attractive.
Oh, Alexa.
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi, man. Which one you like better, Charlie?
Nancy Pelosi met me. She'd vote for the wall.
I want to hang out with her.
I'd like to be with her. She was on the Kennedy Awards the other night. She had on this green dress. Mm. I said, wait a minute, that looks like my girl Nancy. It was Nancy.
She's a
I like to give her this. Put a hug
great
on
dresser.
Nancy.
Great dresser.
How old is she?
68.
She's a little too old for me, but she's in that.
What do you mean, too old?
She's younger than you, Charlie.
No, she's not younger than me.
Charlie, somebody did text me after the last show that knows you pretty well. I'll keep his identity secret.
No one knows my age.
Charlie always had a thing for younger women. This is proof right now with Nancy Pelosi.
One member in the media.
Well,
no,
this person's not in the media, and then he gave me pretty explicit proof.
Of what? How old he is?
Yes.
What did he tell you? What did he say?
72.
That is 100% right.
No, it's not.
And I can tell not. Because
so Nancy's a younger woman.
No, she. I ain't no damn 72.
You are 72.
I know what to do, but I ain't 72.
Hey.
Hey, look, we should look this up. I saw a story the other day. They were showing video of Nancy Pelosi. This might have been 35, 40 years ago. She was at some type of women's march or for gay rights, whatever.
She's 78, by the way. Okay.
Pelosi?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She is?
Wow.
But this was probably 40 years ago then. And I'm telling you, she was.
Be gentle.
Oh, yeah. She was very, very attractive.
Oh, you could tell she was hot. I had to be very gentle if she's 78 now.
don't hurt her now, Chuck.
Net worth, Nancy Pelosi?
$25 million.
That sounds about right. Is she married?
Oh, yeah. She married a very rich.
150. Million.
Okay, so he's worth, Paul Pelosi's worth $27 million,
mm-hmm.
and Nancy's worth around 11.
Yeah.
Would you say she's the most
powerful
female figure? Yeah.
Yeah, she'd have to be now. Yeah, Charlie, that your first gut feeling on Mikey Lewis, that eligibility status is going to be very tricky for the Bills.
Now, tell the people who Mikey Lewis is, because I guarantee you 98% of the people listening probably have no
idea. Okay, so he was a part of the Tatum-Cook Great Chaminade dynasty teams, and he averaged maybe 14 or 15 both his freshman and sophomore years at Duquesne. Unbelievable three-point shooter and a good player, but a really good shooter, and I guess he's fallen out of favor. And he's averaged only about 6 this year. So he has announced he's transferred.
And I'm not referring to him specifically, but that's another example of parents in sports and the way kids are today versus years back. Look at how many kids transferred nowadays.
Yeah.
Okay? So when things don't go their way, and I don't know this kid's situation, what's going on there at Duquesne. If he can have an opportunity to go to a bigger and better school and better program, I get it. But more and more kids, they take their ball and go home if things don't go their way. And and the parents encourage it. They transfer all the time. If things don't work out for them the first semester, they don't give it an opportunity to play through it and fight through that adversity. You didn't hear about nearly as many transfers back in the day as you do today.
With Mikey Lewis specifically, it was either this past year. I think it was this past year, remember, he said he was thinking about transferring.
That's right.
During the offseason. So a lot of people thought he was going to transfer, and then he announced, hey, I'm going to stay at Duquesne. So he was already having these thoughts, whatever it's been.
But now,
6
Andy,
months
let me
ago,
how about
so.
This example? A mm-hmm. guy like Jalen Hurts, who was a good soldier and backed up the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you really think that he should stay at Alabama next year?
No, I mean, every case is individual. All I'm saying is you hear more and more cases. I mean, the kid who was, Jonathan Williams III, I mean, all these other kids, the kids that were leaving Mizzou. Kids everywhere. You hear about more and more transfers now than ever. I don't know the situation with Mark Smith, what took place there at Illinois. I mean, whatever. Every situation is different. I'm not going to blame a kid. All I'm saying is being around youth sports as long as I have and being in touch with today's athlete, you see more and more of it, and the parents are heavily involved. If they're not playing right away, if it doesn't work out for them in the first couple of months, they leave.
What I don't like is you got to
and the coaches are scared because of it, because they don't want to lose the players. They don't know how to handle these kids. You can't be hard on them like they used to, because you know they will leave.
And yet they're lying to the kid while during the recruitment. Hey, you're our guy, you're our guy. And then meantime, they show up and there's four guys, the same grade, same position.
What I don't like, if my team is going to a big bowl game, I'm a big star talent, and all of a sudden, I'm not going to play in the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit out. Okay. Oklahoma State has two players like that
yeah.
right now.
All right, so let's just say it's your son, and he's going to be a first-round draft pick, or he's going to play in the Liberty Bowl on New Year's Eve. Mm-hmm. And he could risk getting hurt.
In a minor bowl game, well, the bowl game would depend on the bowl game as well.
To me, if it's not the college football playoff,
thank you.
None of these bowl games matter. All you have to do is look at Jalen Smith, the linebacker for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. It was about 3-4 years
Notre
ago.
Notre Dame.
Now,
right.
Good. It was a big bowl game, relatively speaking. It was Ohio State, Notre Dame, but it wasn't a college football playoff game. He plays, ruins his knee, whatever leg
injury
he had.
But he's back on top now.
Okay, but he was, I believe.
He lost a lot of money, though,
yeah,
too.
He was in a second-round pick.
He'll make it up.
Okay.
Yeah, but
I don't know
maybe.
About that.
No, he won't
we
make
don't
it
know.
Up.
He'll never
he
get that back.
He loses that first year.
His next deal
he
is what I mean.
Bonus he lost.
It still doesn't matter.
He'll be okay.
If he would have gone early, he would have got that big.
He would have been probably around pick 15 or so. And he probably dropped 30 picks based on playing in a bowl game. Again, if it's not the college football playoff, I don't care if you don't play in the bowl.
Mm-hmm. No, it's something to think about.
It becomes a business then.
Yes. No, it's something to think
about. McCaffrey didn't play in that, too. Didn't he at Stanford his senior year?
Correct. Same with Leonard Fournette.
That's my guy.
Wait, hold on. You like a white running back?
I sat there when he was getting ready to get drafted. He's my favorite player. Probably one of my favorite players in the league.
He's unbelievable.
I like the entire family.
Who's the last great white running back? John Riggins?
Non-fullback?
Yeah, you can't count.
Not Mike Allstott. How about Nick? Wasn't Nick Goings for a minute?
Oh, what about the guy from Cleveland, Peyton Hillis?
Peyton Hillis.
He had a fullback body, but yeah. he ran good for a year.
Madden curse got him. But getting back to the bowl games, this pretty much only exists in the sport of football. But if you're playing in a minor, if you're a guarantee first-round pick, or even a top 2-round pick.
Look at the kid from Houston.
There's a lot to risk, man, for sure.
Look at the defensive end from Houston. He got into it with the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's sitting out. They sit out there. Of course, they lost last week.
Mm-hmm.
But
Can he come back and play?
He played, but he didn't play in the bowl game.
Oh, he didn't. Okay.
No.
I mean, I'm watching this game last night. I mean, only because it was on when I turned the TV on when I got home late last night.
The Baylor game, whatever. Oh, the Baylor game.
These are not even interesting.
And both teams were 6-6.
But, you know, Barry Odom came out and he was, you know, adamant against players who sit out in these bowl games. But, you know, when he recruits a big-time player who's going to be a top-10 pick, we'll see what happens.
How about this? Jalen Smith. Prior to his injury in the Fiesta Bowl, Smith was projected to be the first overall pick in the upcoming 2016 NFL draft.
Yep.
He tore his ACL and LCL in that game for Notre Dame against Ohio State. It was the Fiesta Bowl. This is after winning the Butkus Award,
mm-hmm.
and he fell to the 34th pick. That's losing probably $10+ million.
Why wouldn't a team
you lose?
We're talking an ACL
in
injury where everyone comes back from an ACL nowadays. Why wouldn't a team who's picking in the 20s, why wouldn't you take him?
Well, he went to 34.
Okay, but why wouldn't you take him? I know. I'm just saying, like, why? You know, you may have to go a year without him, whatever, as he recovers. But I mean, you have pretty good faith he's going to be able to get back to the level he was at after an ACL.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That draft room conversation on him specifically. You know, I'm reading this real quickly. I'm reading this Bob Glauber book about Walsh, Gibbs, and Parcells, and they're talking about on draft day, Gil Brandt wanted Tom Landry to draft Joe Montana, but he had three quarterbacks on his roster, including Staubach, who's about to retire, Danny White, and then some guy named Glenn Carano. Mm. And so it came up to take – and the Cowboys did it like this, is they had a board, and they went right off that board. Mm. They trusted Gil Brandt. So they get to the point where the Cowboys are about to select Joe Montana, and Tom Landry steps in and says, why are we going to draft Montana? I have three quarterbacks. I'll cut him at the end of training camp. And Gil Brandt said it was the first time they went off the board, and he was there for the next pick for the 49ers.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
But he wasn't a first. When did Montana get drafted?
I think it was second or third.
Third round,
yeah. But still, Brandt liked him, and mm-hmm. Walsh was praying he was still going to be there because they didn't have an early pick. So,
but again, if you have a quarterback, I mean, it's all about needs, right?
Yeah, and I think Montana turned out a little better than Danny White.
Yeah, Danny White was good, though.
Solid, yeah. Playoff games, mm-hmm. big games, good stats. All right, are you guys staying another segment?
I'm gonna head out to the Mills.
Where are you headed this weekend?
I'm gonna spend a quiet weekend.
I don't know. We'll see where it's at.
It's
whatever.
Enterprise Center. Enterprise,
I'm doing okay.
Nothing. I'm doing nothing this weekend. I'm gonna spend a quiet weekend. I'm getting ready for the bowl games. That's all I'm looking forward to.
Very good, Andy. You this weekend?
I've got Blues tomorrow and pretty much all weekend, including New Year's Eve as well. So
Happy New Year to all you guys as well.
Happy New Year too. To you guys as well.
Happy New Year.
Looking forward to it.
I was thinking about this. If you're a football fan, think about the next 4 days.
Wow.
Saturday, college football playoff. Sunday, final week of the NFL. Locally, Mizzou playing on Monday. And then you have some big bowl games. You have the Rose Bowl and all that on New Year's Day. Pretty good the next 4 days.
And the Blues with some big games with the Penguins Saturday and the Rangers Monday.
So. Yeah. 6-2-2, man. We'll let you know how it goes next week.
Right?
What time is that Mizzou game on Monday?
2:30? Is it 2 or 3-ish?
Yeah, we'll talk throughout
Mizzou's
the entire game.
Mizzou's at 2:45.
Oh, yeah. So your chances have increased because one quarterback who's better than Drew Lock has elected to stay for a senior season out of Oregon.
Well,
so
he's going to stay anyway.
So his younger brother's coming in. He's a tight end. So he wants to play with his younger brother. So we understand that. So your
and
chance.
I am offering you a chance to back out of this to make it a $300.
Oh,
top
I won't back
10.
Up. I mean, the double or nothing is what you talk about. The career he's going to have.
I thought it was $100.
It's $100, but I'm saying that okay. If he doesn't go in the top 10, then Andy doesn't have to pay anything. But if he goes in the top 10, Andy has to pay $300.
Charlie, you walked out.
I don't
when
think
you were...
he's going in the top 10.
No, he's not going in the top 10.
Well, then why don't we go $300?
Why would I do that?
Then you wouldn't have to pay anything.
Listen.
Teams might trade up, honestly.
At the end of the day, he doesn't have the it factor, so he's not going to have a great career anyway. So, I mean, like, I think most teams, if you're smart, if you're in the draft room, most smart draft analysts and most smart scouts will understand that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back.